2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. And the Lord is kind to us. Amen to that. Amen to that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall not fall. Let's back up to verse number 3 again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Did I read that twice? I did, didn't I? Huh. I wonder why. Hallelujah. I believe we could leave right now and say we've been ministered to. No substitute for the word. No substitute for the word. Here I believe that there are two ways that that scripture can apply to us. We'll deal with this one first. If we could be so presumptuous as to use the Bible to determine the days and time in which we live, I truly believe that we are living in the last days, in the last times. The Bible lets us know that in those times, the last days, those times that perilous times would come to us. And how many can say that we are living in perilous times? For men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. We are truly there. Haters of God, haters of one another, boisterous backbiters. That kind of stuff is all over the land today. And you don't have to look very far to find it. Used to be that you might could only find it on TV, but it ain't just on TV no more. Sometimes it's just next door. Sometimes it's on the pew next to you, huh? But the Bible lets us know that in these perilous times that there is victory through Jesus Christ. We're living in those last days, in those last times. And it is amazing to me how that the enemy is now working in the land. I would like to title this tonight, if I may, Know What You Believe. Know what you believe. And that statement almost speaks for itself. But in this, it is amazing to me how the enemy is now working in the land. He at one time in history, and still does, it seems, to a lesser degree, tried to portray Jesus as someone bad, something bad. Christianity as a fanatical teaching that's here today and gone tomorrow. But I'm so glad that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And this lets me know that if He can give me everlasting life, that He is an everlasting God. The Bible lets us know that I am the same yesterday, I am the same today, and I will be the same tomorrow. That's the kind of God that we serve. A God that changes not. A God that stands true to His word. A God that stands true to His word. A God that stands true to His word. A God that we can trust. A God that we can believe in. A God that we can call on. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Through the different battles and wars at different times, the enemy tried to make it seem that being a Christian and being devoted to Jesus was a bad thing. But through His power and anointing, God hath anointed some people for such a time as that to stand against the enemy and come out victorious against those false teachings. And God has also anointed some people in this day and hour to stand in a time such as this, that no matter how the enemy fights, no matter how strong he comes against us, no matter how hard that he tries to fight against the church of Jesus Christ, somebody is going to come out victorious. There will be a remnant for the Lord. There will be a remnant for the Lord. I appreciate those old soldiers that stood in the way even before me and prepared the way, blazed the trails, paved the roads even at times to make life and trips a little easier for us. But the enemy is still here. The enemy is still working and doing his best to destroy the body of Christ. And yes, it is a body thing. It is the body of Christ that he's trying to destroy. And I know sometimes with all the trouble and tribulations that we face as individuals, it seems like Satan has forgotten all about everybody else and aimed all of his weapons directly at you. And ain't nobody else's problems as big as your problems. Have you ever been there? Oh me, Lord. I think somebody sung a song and said, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. I've got news for you tonight. There was a Jesus one day that traveled up a hill called Golgotha. And the Bible says that his vesture was marred more than any man's had ever been marred. But he traveled up that hill and he sacrificed his life. And he came out victorious on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He makes you think, well, Sally ain't got nothing big going on. She's got the prettiest dishes of anybody. She goes anywhere she wants, eats out anytime she wants. Seems like her and her family are always on vacation. Just like old Sammy over there, driving that nice Lexus car, wearing that nice suit. Seems like he's always flashing cash. Friend, that's just a trick of the devil to try and bring division in the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that we are not wise to compare ourselves one to another. You and I are in different places, on different planes with the Lord. And he's trying to take us all through our own battles. Because he uses those things to grow us. He uses those things to make us and to shape us. He uses life. He uses life to do that. And our God has given us the power to recognize him. It's just a trick of the devil to try and to cause division in the body of Christ. And if he can get our attention focused on one another's perceived goods and bads. Have you ever heard that saying, perception is everything? Perception is everything. Well, it's a lie. I'm going to tell you, it's a lie. You don't know what type of stuff I've got going on. I don't know what kind of stuff you got going on. I don't know what causes you to do what you do, say what you say, go where you go. And the same is true for me. Because perception is not everything. How I see you should not shape how I think about you. I should have a spirit of discernment living on the inside of me that lets me see who you are in God. But the enemy blinds us to that sometimes. And he puts us in a place to where all we can see is the earthly goods and the earthly bads. That person, Brother Anthony, preached a message just a couple of weeks ago about how that we name people, how we title people. That title that we put on them causes us to treat them that way. If this, we can hear one person say one hateful thing, and from then on, that person is hateful, no matter what caused them to say it. Perception is not everything. But Satan will get us caught up in their perceived goods and bads. Perceived goods and bads. And cause us to miss out on what the Lord really is trying to show us. It takes our attention off of Him when we do that. It takes our attention off of the enemy and his real evil works. And the next thing you know, he has slipped in with a nuclear bomb to take out as many of us as he can. He'll get us focused on each other in an individual way. And have you ever seen it happen? Well, that old so-and-so, they shouldn't have said that or done that. Now, this person over here, I'm not sitting over there because they're sitting over there. I'm not going over there. I'm not going to that birthday party because they're going to be there. Shame on us sometimes. That's just a trick of the enemy to try to cause us to have division among ourselves. But the enemy will slip in with a bomb and try to take out as many of us as he can. But thank God that he has given us the power to tread upon serpents. Tread upon scorpions. And see the enemy for who he really is. And what he's really doing. So today, I think there's another strategy that's more at play. Now, I know the Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. And the devil ain't devising no new tricks. And I think every one of them, just like Paul said that at one place he said there, that I'm afraid that you are going to be as even be deceived as she was. I believe it took all of his tricks at that point in time to deceive her. I don't think he just tossed her out a line and that was it. I think he had to work at it. And he's working at it today. And all down through time, different strategies that he's used, and some more prevalent at times than others. And have you ever heard the old saying that if you can't beat them, join them? If you can't beat them, join them. Sometimes the cops, the police officers will use that method. But they use it and they give it a different terminology. They'll call them folks undercover officers. And they'll put them in a place to where they can seemingly be doing bad. Maybe try and do some good. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and verse 16. I'm sorry. Chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. No doubt today, this very day, Sunday, there was a pulpit somewhere, maybe many of them, that was full of a false apostle, a false prophet, that stood behind a sacred desk and used every nice little conniving word that the enemy could put in his mouth to deceive somebody. To trick somebody. No doubt this very day and possibly at this very minute, sitting on somebody's couch, sitting in somebody's easy chair, they're watching a television program that's got a false apostle standing behind a pulpit trying to trick them and deceive them. That's why in this day and time, more than any other before, you've got to know what it is that you believe. And you've got to be sure in it. Be able to stand on it. Know that what you believe is right. So because the enemy has been successful at destroying, has been unsuccessful at destroying the truth of Jesus, he is trying now to best his best to pollute the gospel of Jesus to make it less powerful. Why is he trying to make it less powerful? Because Paul said, I am what? Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation. And salvation is what we're after, ain't it? And he's doing everything that he can to pollute it, to dilute it. Because if he can pollute it or dilute it, he makes it ineffectual. He makes it unusable. It won't work its intended purpose anymore. It's just a pretty speech after that. Amen. The enemy is trying to set things up, other things up as an equal to God. As an equal to God. Trying to make it seem as though anything will work. I heard a guy saying the other day, a man, a minister, very, 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 very well-known minister, that stood up in a crowd of people, recorded when all across the United States and the world, had stated that Jesus Christ never, ever taught Christianity. Jesus himself, the one that Christianity is all about, never taught Christianity. Wow. If I had ever heard a lie before in my life, I heard a lie that day. Jesus taught, be like me, walk like me, follow me, do what I do. Why? Because if my God, my Father don't tell me to say it, I don't say it. If my Father don't tell me to do it, I don't do it. Wow. Blew my mind. I heard another guy of the Muslim faith that stood up and said, I believe in Jesus just as much as you do. Stood up and said, and he's talking to Christians, of course, I believe in Jesus just as much as Christians do. He said, I believe Jesus even come from a fatherless birth, born of a virgin. He said, and you know what? I'll go as far as to say, I believe Jesus is coming back. And you hear somebody say stuff like that. And if you're a real true Christian, then you've got to sit there and say, now what kind of gimmick is this? And you got to listen so you can hear it. So I sat there and I listened a little further. And he began to tell the Christians that were gathered up around him how that Jesus was coming back to tell them how that they had read the Bible and been deceived by it. How that they had read the Bible and believed what it said and were deceived by it. And they asked him, well, how is that? And he said, it's because you've called him Lord and he's not Lord. I've got news for them. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 30-35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Isaiah 54 and 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3 verse 29. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver like this. But yet Christians have been deceived. Wow. Yet Christians have been deceived. I remember the writings of Paul that told us that there is no other name given among men whereby what man must be, not man can be. If man could be saved by another name, then the name of Jesus would be no different than Paul or Jerry or John. But because it's Jesus, I can be saved by it. I can be healed by it. I can be delivered by it. The name of Jesus. Sounds to me like somebody is deceived. But it's not me. Somebody say it's not me. Somebody say it's not me. Glory to God. Glory to God. When it comes down to the very end of this thing, we are the sum of our choices. We are the sum of our choices. The ending product of our choices. And we've been given many choices. We've been given a place in the world. There are a lot of folks that believe in a doctrine of predestination. And I would have to say for myself, to a degree, I can see the validity of some of it. Because there are some men that are put here to carry out purposes. And they really ain't got a choice in the matter. They're just going to do it because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And they're going to do it. But for the most of us, there are those of us that are here and our choices. Do you serve Him or do you not? And we have been given evidence throughout this Bible. We have been given evidence all down through history of who it is and what it is that we should be serving. We, you and I, are not the people that have to get out here and to prove our God. God has proven Himself time and time and time and time and over and over and over again. How many times have you driven down the road within inches of your life and you come out safely? How many times have you faced an assassin's bullet and come out okay? How many times has a knife been put to your throat and you've been all right? How many times have we been places we didn't know if we was coming from? How many times have we put needles in our arms, but we're still here today? Preserved by the power of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks that are going to try to give Him a different name. And certain folks of other religions are going to try and tell you, we believe in the same God you do. We just give Him another name. No! There's no other name that you can be saved by. Oh, you can call on any other name you want. How many called on the God of Dagon and He never answered? There when Elijah was facing those prophets of Baal, how many called on Baal and nothing ever happened for them? They never got saved. But we call on a God. We call on a God in which we have a surety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this scripture applies to us this way. Make your calling and your election sure. Make your choice. Make your choice and be sure of it. Our God is not like our president. All right. Our president and any other body, that person that runs for any kind of office, they'll do their best when they're campaigning to hide all of their dirt. They'll do their best to hide all of the dirt because they got dirt. Believe you me, they're walking around in the flesh and they got dirt. And they'll do their absolute best to hide it, to keep those people that are going to elect them into a higher office to not know it. All I want you to see is my good. I'll come out in front of you in my pretty suit with my tie on. I'll comb my hair just right. And if I'm in front of farmers, I'll put my hat and my blue jeans on. I'm only going to show you the good side of me. Because I want you to elect me. There's a big difference between them and Jesus. In Jesus, there's no dirt. There's nothing for Him to have to hide. The Bible tells us that He's all light. There's no variableness of turning. There's no dirt about Him. all we can see about him is good. And if ever there was a candidate for us to elect in our life that has given us evidence of his righteousness, it's Jesus Christ. Muhammad ain't never done nothing for me. Harold Christian ain't never done nothing for me. Buddha ain't never done nothing for me. But Jesus has paid it all. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has done it all. Hallelujah. His scripture applies to us in that manner. Make your calling and your election sure. Be sure. Know what it is that you believe and be sure in it. Now, how? I'm out of water. How do you be sure of it? How do you show that you're sure of it? How do you prove that you're sure of it? The Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Now, make your calling. Thank you. Make your calling and your election sure. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. The called according to his purpose. There was a time in your life when you were lost in your sins and you were on your way to a devil's hell. And you, they use the old term, that you were going to split hell's gates wide open. But the Bible lets us know that it enlarges its mouth every day to accept all of those that are going its way. And you were lost. And without God, you could not see a future of any kind. You could not see the security that was in Jesus at all. And in your flesh, Satan tried to keep you, your mind and your understanding at a place to where you did not know this. That it was just all about life and just about living life and walking the road. And well, let's just do all that we can do to make ourselves happy because all is vanity anyway. I want to go here and I want to do that and I want to watch this program and I want to listen to this music and I want to wear these clothes and I want to go drink this drink and I want to eat that food and just do whatever it takes to make yourself happy because that you could not see that there was a difference between this life and the hereafter that you could not see. You didn't know that there was a difference between what you was living here and there was a difference in the hereafter or if there was going to be a hereafter. But one day, somewhere, via a trouble, a trial, or just a still small voice in your heart, there began to be a conversation take place between you and an Almighty God that begin to make you question the things that you saw and the things that you thought. Why am I here? Why do I see what I see? Is there a hereafter? If there is one, am I safe in it? And in the process of time, as you become to go into this place in your mind, and you begin to wonder about, well, is there a God? Is there really a God? Now, you've heard this part of the story a lot. I was raised in church my whole life. I heard about the Lord and about his exploits and about the things of God my whole life. But one day there come a time, even in my life, as a young Christian man, that these questions plagued my mind. And I wondered, are you really real? I know I've seen a whole lot of things. I've not just witnessed them, I've experienced a whole lot of things. And that happens true for a lot of Christians. Are you really there? Are you really there? And I was in the same boat. And one day, thank God, that little conversation, that still small voice, began to creep up into my heart and come into my mind and my ears and say, Paul, I'm here and I love you. And then it changed from things, hallelujah, that I heard and things that I had seen to things that I had experienced for my own self. And it's when this happens, when you make your way to an altar and you completely and you wholeheartedly give yourself to God, you turn yourself over to Him, and He takes control of your life, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been called, and then you've been elected, because Jesus has said, come up hither. Come up a little higher. Come sit with me. Come walk with me. Come talk with me. Let's have a relationship. How do you make your calling in election sure, in the sense of you being called of God and elected by Him to be a member of the bride of Christ? And this is how you do it. And beside this, giving all diligence, there was something that caused you to move in to this walk that you're in. And it's called faith. Faith. There is but one Lord and one faith and one baptism. God has given to every man the measure of faith. Because why? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He has given every man the ability to please Him. Hallelujah. And the only way that we please Him is we first adhere to faith. Faith cometh by hearing. What cometh by hearing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? Faith is the first step in all of it. Add to your faith. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Paul said, I counted the knowledge of God. Everything I had gained before I got the knowledge of God was worthless to me. Paul, being who he was, walked in the ways of the world. Paul, as Saul, was a worldly man. He sought to persecute the Christian. He sought to persecute the real men and women of God, thinking all the time, being deceived, that he was doing the work of God. But one day, because he had been given the ability to please God, there was a conversation that took place on the road to Damascus. Yes, Lord, who are you? And what will you have me do? Hallelujah. I'm so glad one day that I met Jesus. And I said, who are you? What will you have me do? Amen. Glory to God. Faith. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. The Bible tells us that in your patience you possess your souls. Now, if we ain't careful, some of the junk that we'll face in life will cause us to lose our patience or jump ahead of it. Have you ever heard that old saying, why he or she's got the patience of Job? My dad was a very patient man, real patient man. But I saw him one day working on a car. And when the part of that car wouldn't do what he wanted to, the hammer made it do what he wanted it to do, because his patience went somewhere else. And if we ain't careful, the devil will put us into the same place, a like place, that will cause us to jump ahead of our patience. But in our patience, possess our souls. We possess our souls there. And we're to add to our patience godliness. Godliness. Well, what is godliness? Godliness is no more than taking on the attributes of our Father. And if you want to know what the attributes of our Father is, look at Jesus. Because Jesus said, when you've seen me, you see the Father. If you act like I act in the form of Jesus, then you're just like him. You're being like him. You're putting on godliness. If you can love like Jesus, that's godliness. And you've got to add to your patience godliness. And boy, you've got to have some patience if you're going to add godliness. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. It's not easy to walk off. It's not easy that when somebody's took a stab at you with words, to turn and walk away. It's not an easy thing. Because the man, the flesh, thinks of itself. It wants to preserve itself. It wants to boast itself. It wants to build itself up. But I have to die. I have to decrease that he can increase. And through the patience, I add godliness when I crucify the flesh and mortify the deeds of the body. Somebody say amen. Amen. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. The enemy really tries hard to sow division among the brethren. And I include the sisters in that also. We are a body. We are a body. Now there's a small portion of this body that's here. And in one sense of the word, this small part that is here, we are a body of people. But we are a body, as a body, in this body. As a body, we are members of another body, a greater body, a body that, according to the Bible, has been fitly joined together, which means, Brother Jerry, you do not only have a place here in this small portion of the body, Brother John, you not only have a place there on that bench, Brother BJ, you don't only have a place doing the things that you do here in this area, you also have a place, a position, you, Brother, all of us have a place and a position in the greater body that's called the body of Christ. Yeah. And the body of Christ exists over the whole earth. Yeah. Over the whole earth. And if the enemy can cause trouble to one member of the body, he brings the body to a place of weakness. Not Jesus. He don't change Jesus. He don't make Jesus weak. But the body is made weak when the enemy causes trouble in one member of the body. I was thinking the other day about my hands, my fingers. And I was talking to a lady friend of mine who plays piano also. And I thought about my hands and my fingers and how many joints and muscles and tendons and stuff that are in those. It just amazes me how that we are wonderfully made. And I thought to myself, how many times have my fingers bent in the almost 46 years of my life? How many times have my fingers bent in the course of a day? How many times do my fingers bend? And playing the bass guitar or the piano or whatever I'm doing, working at work, saws and hammers and nails. How many times have my fingers bent and been used? Take one of those away and cause it pain and trouble. And now that whole hand is affected and can't work effectively. I can't do this the way that I was before. I can't do that the way that I was before. I can't work the way that I can't even shake hands right if one member of that hand is affected. And you say, well, Brother Paul, God's stronger than that. I know God's stronger than that. But he's working through a body. He's working through a body. And this is why, saints of God, we've got to stand in the gap and make up the hedge one for another. This is why we, as children of the same body, have got to bear one another's burdens. And not allow the enemy to cause division between us. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness. Charity. Brotherly kindness covers the brothers and sisters in the body. And charity covers the brothers and sisters in the body. And those without. For you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill and it can't be hid. Ye are the salt of the earth. And Jesus said, while I'm here, I'm the light. But when I'm gone, you're the light. Charity, love for others. Love for others. For if these things, those things just mentioned, if these things be in you and abound, not just something you experience every now and again, if they abound, if they're you, if someone don't look at you and say, well, that's an old hateful old crab. No, if they can look at you and say, man, I've never seen a guy more kind than that. I've never seen a woman with more charity than that. If they abound in you, if the knowledge of God abounds in you, if virtue abounds in you, if it lives there, then you, they make you. Those things, they make you. That ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Cannot see afar off. Cannot see beyond himself. Can't see past his own self. Hallelujah. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather. But instead of being like that, brethren, give diligence. And make the calling of God that's pushed on you. Make the fact that you are elected. Have been elected by God. Make it sure. Make it something the world can look at and say, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. Because if they see these things in you. If they see these things in you. If they see these things in you, they see Jesus. You want to know how to be Christ-like? Get these simple things in your life and let them abound. And make that calling and that election that God has placed on you for sure. Come back to the music for me. Hallelujah. Make that calling and that election sure. Because saints of God, in the end of this thing, we are the sum of our choices. The things that we choose are what make us who we are. The things we choose to do. The Bible told us that every man, has to stand before the throne of God and give account of every deed done in the body. every deed done in the body. So we are the sum of the choices we make. No, I beg you tonight, know what you believe. Amen. The enemy is trying his best to destroy you. He's trying to pollute the gospel of Jesus Christ so he can make the life that you live, the Christ that people see in you, ineffectual. A person that can stand before you and tell you a lie about Jesus. Don't believe in Jesus. I could stand here and say they don't believe in the Jesus I believe in. But it wouldn't matter if I believed in him. They don't believe in Jesus. Because that's not even the Jesus that the Bible tells us about. Testifies about. The enemy leaves out little things. And he adds little things. But we already know his destination. Let's not, you and I, add anything. And let's not leave out anything. Let's go to the Word of God and let's get these things we've just preached about in our life. So that we can be real Christians. Real, real Christians. Brother Jerry. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight.
Amen. You going to heed to that word? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Paul, thank you for that word, brother. Amen. You know, we are a body. We're to love one another. And the body says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Not only them, but live beside of you, but everybody. So love. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. That's what I want to see. I want people to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you feel like you need to come and pray, you just come on. If you feel like you need to come and ask the Lord to help you to make your calling and election sure, these altars are open. Amen. But if you got a need, anybody, men and women of God will come and we'll pray for you. But if you're struggling with anything, we serve a God that's able. He's able, church. If you're struggling in your walk with Christ, he's able. He's never left you. He'll never leave you or forsake you because he said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah for this word. Let's give Brother Paul a big hand. Amen. You know, we got men, and we got a shepherd that pours his heart out to us when he's here, you know, and he loves people, and I've never seen anyone quite like him because his love for the people, his love for this nation, it just bumfuzzles me that, you know, hey, this man is called by God. And I tell everybody I go see and talk to, I said, he's a weeping prophet, just like Jeremiah. We got men and women of God that's right here that's anointed by the Holy Ghost. And we're a body, church. We are a body. When you hurt, I hurt. When you cry, I cry. That's the way the body works. Just like Paul said about that finger. You know, when you lose that finger, these other four don't know what to do. I've got a stub here, you know. I never will forget when my dad lost his finger to a saw. I went to see him in the hospital. He said, I can't even feel it. I don't even know if it's there. So we got a lot of people out there today, like Paul said, standing behind the pulpit, is teaching things that shouldn't be taught. But don't let them deceive you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. Amen. This word is true. So if you want to come and pray, you can. Amen. They're going to sing a song. If you feel like coming and asking somebody to pray with you, to help you in your walk, hey, I tell you, prayer changes things. Amen. It changes things. But we're just going to open the altars. If you want to come and pray, you can. Then we'll be dismissed. We're so thankful tonight that you're here. But, you know, like Carmela sang that song that time, he's in the house. He's been here with us from the time we walked in that door. He's in the house. Anything you lack, anything that you need, he's right here to meet you. You know, I like that scripture in Revelations. He's still saying, come. Come. There's still room at the cross for one. If you're here lost tonight or backslidden, I just ask you to come to these altars tonight. And ask Christ, hallelujah, to strengthen you and come back in. He's never left you. Like I said, he's never left you. Amen. So I'm going to open the altars up and let them sing. And if you know, and when they get through singing, we'll go home. But we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you here right now. But I feel like before we leave here, we all just need to pray for all our brothers and sisters in that path again. Because God can turn that storm. Betty said there's a storm out on the ocean. But I know a God that can turn it. Amen. I know a God that can speak to it. Hallelujah. Say, stop. Hallelujah. I serve a big God, don't you? Amen. So we're going to open the altars. Go ahead and sing. Amen. Let's just come to these altars and pray. I'm going to pray. Let's just pray that God will do something. Hallelujah. And that through this storm that we... souls saved through this storm, and people's lives will be changed when they see the fury of God. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just come and pray. Amen.
Taking me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock.
I will worship you until the very end.
Singing
Jesus,
you're the lover of my soul. My Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me, from the miry clay. Place my feet,
upon a rock.
And now I know, Lord, I love you.
I love you.
And I need you.
Lord, I need you.
Though my world may fall,
I'll never let you go.
You're my Savior. My closest friend. I will worship you.
Lord, until the very end.
Till the very end, singing Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. Oh, my Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me, oh, from the miry clay, set my feet
upon.
worship you.
I will worship you, Lord, until the very end.
Singing Jesus,
Jesus,
you're the lover of my soul, my Jesus.
Jesus,
I will never let you go.
You've taken me
from the miry clay. On a rock, and now I know, Lord, I love you.
I love you,
and I need you.
Lord, I need you.
Though my world may fall,
though my world may fall,
I'll never let you go. Lord, you're my Savior,
my Savior,
my closest friend,
my closest friend.
I will worship you.
I will worship you, Lord, until the very end.
Amen. Let's just all lift our hands and pray for those people in the path of that hurricane and those in Texas. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you're here with us tonight, Lord. Lord, we lift our hands to you. We lift our prayers to you tonight for those precious people, Lord, in the path of that storm. Lord God, as you did with the disciples, Lord Jesus, they came and woke you up, Lord, and you just spoke to the storm and the winds, and Lord said, be still. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to touch them people, dear God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll watch over them and take care of them. Thank you, dear God, that we have these sisters with us up here. Lord God, has come this week, Lord. We thank you for them and their families back home. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll minister to them. We just thank you for each and every one that's come this day. And Lord, I pray, God, your blessings upon each and every family. Lord, be with us, Lord, the rest of this week. And next week, Lord, just bless them, oh God, and touch them tonight. And Lord, we thank you for this word tonight. Lord, help us to make our calling and election sure before you. Hallelujah. As Paul said, we're a light that can't be hid. And Lord, help us to reach those people outside these walls. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Come back Tuesday night at 7. Amen. Be safe. Have a good week. Hallelujah. And Brother Paul is going to have train Friday night at 8. Get with him. He's going to tell you where he's going to go. Then Sunday morning, if you hadn't signed a form for men's breakfast, it's right back here. I don't know what somebody gets you one to you. We'd love to have you at 9 o'clock. Amen. God bless you. Godspeed to you. Amen.